Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and we are having an interview today with a very interesting guest. I like everything related to the Internet. I find just about everything that's involved with the Internet fascinating. But to me, this is one of the most interesting calls that I've done in a long, long time, and I think you're going to find it too. Our guest today is Arlene Martell. Welcome, Arlene.
Well, thank you, Ken. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I recognize that last name, Martell. Would you happen to have any relationship with James Martell?
James is my husband, yes, and
okay.
we work together.
Okay, great. The reason I asked Arlene to be on this call is I came across her website, one of her websites, or her main website project, and it is, to my mind, one of the finest examples of Internet publishing there is. I mean, it's incredible, and I want everybody to go to it, look at it, and study it. And not only is it a first-class job of Internet publishing, it's also using the Internet and the power of the Internet in an extremely positive way, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to have some shop talk and talk about building sites and promoting sites and getting traffic and converting traffic and maybe even making money. But this call is also going to be about the power of the Internet to do good. And again, this is one of the best examples of that I've ever seen in 15 years of doing Internet stuff. And I'm just really honored, Arlene, to have you on the phone. Arlene, the name of your website is?
It's epilepsymoms.com.
Okay, that's epilepsymoms.com. And for people that are spelling challenged like me, how do you spell epilepsy?
E-P-I-L-E-P-S-Y, and then moms.com.
Great. Let's talk about how this particular site came to be.
This is something that I really wanted to do for a long time. We have a son, Adam, who's 21 years old now, and the bit of his story is he started to have seizures when he was 4 years old. And he's also on the autistic spectrum, which he had extreme obsessive compulsive behavior since he was two. So it was a real challenge for James and I to find treatments for Adam when he was young. And like many parents, we did what most parents do, and that's to go to the local doctor and be prescribed an anticonvulsant medication. Well, for Adam, the drugs just didn't work. And we were really on the seizure battlefield for about 4 years, where we tried drug after drug after drug after drug. But we watched our little boy who, you know, was perfectly normal at birth and up until the age of two. You know, he was a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy, bright as can be, met all his milestones, and then all of a sudden he had this tonic-clonic seizure, formerly known as a grand mal seizure when he was 4 years old. It was completely out of the blue. And as parents, we were devastated. We just didn't know what to do. So, like I said, we took him to the doctor, put him on the medication, and watched our happy, bright little boy really start to deteriorate, and just followed the doctor's lead and tried six different medications. But the side effects of these medications were horrific. He had personality changes. He became really quite violent in his behavior. We couldn't have any other kids over to the house because he was so unpredictable. You know, he had mood swings. He had stomach aches. He would cry all the time. It was horrible to go through this and watch him completely filled with seizures. Every day he would have a couple of hundred what they call absent seizures, and then he would have the tonic-clonic convulsive seizures at night, and he would probably have those three or four times a week. And then on top of that, he had status seizures, which were very life-threatening, where he would go into a convulsive seizure, but before his body could recover from the seizure and he would come out of it, he would go into a second one and a third one and a fourth one. And at one point, he went into 25 tonic-clonic seizures, and, you know, his brain was just being bombarded at this time. And it was really, really difficult. So we did this for about 4 years, And it just got to the point where James and I were emotionally and physically drained. Adam was the oldest child of our four kids, So as you can imagine, we had a busy, busy household. We were running our own business from home, so we were both at home. But, you know, our house was chaotic, to say the least, and we just couldn't get Adam's seizures under control. And then what happened was one day I was watching a TV program, and I was really at my wit's end. I didn't know what to do anymore. I was looking to see there had to be something different because I didn't think that Adam was going to live very long. He was already starting to deteriorate mentally very badly. And on TV one day, the show Dateline NBC came on, and there was a show about a high-fat diet for kids with epilepsy. And the minute that I saw that show, my heart just sank because I knew in my heart that's what I was looking for Adam. And what I found out was that this show was being produced by a Hollywood TV or movie producer named Jim Abrams, and his son Charlie had gone through the exact same thing. And Jim Abrams had found this diet called the ketogenic diet, and he used it for his son Charlie, and overnight his son Charlie became seizure free. So Jim, you know, after doing the same thing that we did, going through the drugs, going through the doctors, he just sat up in bed one night and said, "This didn't have to happen. Here I found this diet. I put my son on it. He's seizure-free. We don't need the drugs anymore. But nobody knows about this diet." And after he started really doing some research on the diet, he'd found out that this diet had been in place since the 1920s and had been around for a very long time. It had been very successful. About 70% of kids that go on this diet have really good success with it. And about 30% of them become completely seizure-free, where the drugs have completely failed them. So he went on a bit of a mission to get the word out about this diet, and he was a Hollywood producer. He produced shows like Airplane, The Naked Gun, and he actually gave up his career as a Hollywood producer to do a bit of a personal mission to help other kids with epilepsy. And he started a foundation called the Charlie Foundation, and he now educates doctors all over the world promoting the diet, and he trains dietitians all over the world so that the hospitals can get the diet in, you know, in place and get these kids going on it. So we put Adam on the diet, and I was very frustrated because the doctors had just kept wanting to try one more drug, and I just knew that one more drug wasn't going to work. And what really frustrated me later was that I found out that if the first anticonvulsant drug doesn't work, there's only a 15% chance that the second one will work, and then the odds continue to decrease from there. So I thought, you know, this is so unfair that they continue to push these drugs on us and for our son to deteriorate to the point that he did. And when I asked about going on the diet, they actually surprisingly said Adam is a good candidate for the diet. When he was 8 years old, we put him on the diet, and within 24 hours, Adam's seizures stopped.
So this is after having hundreds of small seizures a day and
yes,
several massive ones a week, and it just stopped cold on the first
stopped.
Day.
They were completely gone. Within a week, we were completely 100% seizure free and off all the medications. So for a parent to go through that and then to find this diet, it was like it's like a miracle because he didn't know it existed, and it frustrated me that the doctors did not give this to me as an alternative in the first place.
Of course. And not only have you gone through this experience, but I imagine thousands of families have gone through the same experience, and many of them still not knowing that this is even available.
No, they still don't know. And so what I did then is it took me about 5 years, but I had all my notes because I was very good at keeping notes on Adam's progress. And then I wrote to the hospital and I asked for Adam's transcripts. And I got a binder that was about 10 inches thick with reports from all the times he'd been in the hospital. So I just sat down and I systematically decided to write a book about Adam, about his experience. And I said, let's do it. I said, I need to get this story out to other people. So I wrote an e-book. It's called Getting Adam Back: A Mother's Triumph Over Epilepsy and Autism, and I just sell it as an e-book. And I sell that book all over the world, and it's quite amazing. And it's just out there to give hope to other parents where they really didn't have any before, because I hear the same story over and over and over again. And it's quite amazing to me that the doctors continue to push the drugs when they know they're not going to work anymore, or they want to do brain surgery, which to me would be a real last resort.
Mm-hmm. And you, so when a family wakes up to this nightmare, I think is the only way you can call it, the only thing you can call it, they're on their own.
They are on their own, you know, and
there's
it's up
no
to
one
them. And thank goodness for the Internet, because now people can start searching. And a lot of people are finding my website, and I'm getting things like, thank goodness you made this site, because I've never found anything out there like it. And it's really a sounding board for parents where they can go in and they can really share their story. And I have a chat forum in there so I can talk back to them. And I've got some really remarkable stories in there. I'd like to share just one. There was a mom who bought my book, and she's a little guy named Austin who's 2 years old, and exactly the same story as Adam. Multiple seizures, couldn't get control. He'd tried six different drugs as well. And her little boy at, he was almost three, he was still not walking or talking. And she put him on the diet, and it took 7 days, and he was completely seizure-free. And she's just beside herself to have her little boy back again. And now he has a real chance. All of this developmental delay, it'll come back. He'll be able to continue to progress now because he's young enough and his brain really hasn't been too compromised. And she said for the first time, it took about 3 weeks, but for the first time he called her mom. Mm. And, you know, it just brought tears to my eyes to know that I was able to help her and other parents just like her all over the world.
So let's just sort of recap here. We've got this very serious disease that affects, do you happen to know the numbers? Does anybody know how many families are affected by this?
You know, I don't have the statistics, but there's about 1 in 100 people in North America have epilepsy.
1 in 100, and then some have a very severe case, and then for some, it starts very early.
Yeah, and when it starts really early, it's really difficult to control for these little kids because they're using the same anticonvulsants that they're using on adults, and they're very powerful medications.
That's one thing that jumped out at me when I was listening to the interview with the producer, that the dose and the drugs are the same. They give it to a 2 or 3 year old, and it's the same kind of drug you'd give to a full grown man.
That's right, exactly
and,
right.
That just can't be good.
No.
So
at the same time, in order to get the right level in their system, they have to continue to take blood tests, and you know there's chances of liver damage, and these kids go through a lot. They really go through a lot.
And so not only do these families wake up and find they've got this really serious problem, but they don't have any real help. We could have a long talk about this, but for whatever reason, the medical profession, which is very tied to the pharmaceutical profession, has a one-word answer, which is drugs. They don't tell parents that this diet exists, or in some cases, they say, well, this exists, this diet exists, but it's not proven. Or they'll say, oh, this diet exists, but it's way too hard for any family to ever do. It's a craziness. And people who want to look into this can get into the site and find out, well, yeah, the diet takes a little bit of work, but if the alternative is failure or a child being on very powerful drugs his or her whole life, the diet's easy compared
to...
Yeah,
exactly. There's no comparison.
You know, this is one of these just logical, common sense things that anybody could understand if they're told. And here's the challenge. People are not being told. Had it not been for that one brief moment on television, you never would have known. And that's kind of, you know, television's powerful and, you know, newspapers and radio very powerful, but they tend to create these sort of spikes of attention. If you happen to have the TV on at that time, you're in luck. If you don't, you're out of luck, and then it fades into oblivion. The beautiful thing about the web is it persists. It lasts. It stays. And you can weave a whole archive and community out of any topic, which is what you've done with this topic. So let's actually go through the structure of your site. You talked a little bit about it. One thing that I noticed right away is that you're producing. Let's get real basic here. You're using a blog format or a blog platform.
Yeah, I'm using the system that I'm using. The content management system I'm using is called Drupal.
Okay.
And you know, I'm not real technical, I have to tell you. James is helping me with the site, and you know, he was the one that really inspired me to get the site going because, you know, he knew I wanted to do it, and he knew that this information had to continue to get out there. But I needed a real push to, you know, because I don't know how to build a site. I know a lot of the terminology. I come to a lot of conferences with him, but to actually sit down and build the site was not something I'd ever done before. And but to me, it was for Adam. I wanted to really build this site for Adam because, unfortunately, even though I did find the diet when he was 8, his brain was damaged from the status seizures, and he will require support the rest of his life. So I wanted to have another source of income for him, and I mm-hmm. thought this is a perfect way to do it. And I kind of have a goal for the site to make about $2,000 a month, and mm-hmm. I think that would support him really well so that he doesn't have to rely on a disability benefit the rest of his life.
Gotcha. Then meanwhile, families that are trying to find solutions to this problem are coming across your site. They're finding the articles, they're finding the interviews, they're finding other families that they can compare notes with and you know, mutual support together. So you're on a blogging platform. You're using Drupal, which is one of the blogging software. Actually, it's not really a blog. It's a blog format, but Drupal is more of a web content manager as opposed to a classic blog. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
What category it falls into, but from the point of view of the people that come to the site, one of the things they're seeing right away is articles. You have new articles on a regular basis. How often do you post new content to the site?
Well, the beauty of this site is, again, I don't have a lot of time. I outsourced a lot of my information to Elance, which I thought was wonderful. What I did was, I knew what I wanted the site to say, and I knew what I wanted the site to look like, but I'm not a writer, and I didn't know if I could actually pull this off. So what I did is I did what I call a visitor profile, where I actually sat down and I wrote down what would I like my visitor to feel when they arrive on my site. What do I want them to see? What do I want them to be able to do? What's the goal for my visitor? And once I was able to answer all those questions, I just wrote them all down, and I put a little project description together, and I sent it off to Elance. And I got some wonderful writers coming in and bidding on the project to really get the content started on my site. Mm-hmm. And I got moms who were writers who had kids with epilepsy. They understood. And so I picked one, and she was able to write, you know, most of the content for my pages. And then once I got the chat forum going, that was really easy because now the mums were getting in there, and all I asked them to do was share their own story with me, and boy, did they share their stories, and they're just in there just blogging like crazy and writing out. They're really developing the content for me by sharing their stories, talking about their experiences and all of the things that they've tried. So it was pretty easy to get content for the site, and I also hired a writer to go in and write an article for me. Just to get the site really started and get some content on there, I would come up with topic ideas, again, send them off to the writers at Elance, and I would ask them for a, you know, 200 to 300 word article on all of these topics. And in they came, and I just proofed them all, made sure they were accurate, and was able to post them on the site. So putting the site together was not too difficult.
Great. And how often does new content appear on the site?
I had three writers writing three articles a week, so 9 new articles a week.
Every week.
That's
a real, I think, important fact for people who want to get into internet publishing or are already in it. You are producing a significant stream of content, fresh content, weekly. You didn't just throw up a site and leave it. You're constantly putting new stuff up.
Great. I was very selective, too, with the words that I, you know, the topics that I had them write about.
Gotcha. Now, this sounds like it could be a very expensive undertaking, you know, 9 articles a week and 52 weeks a year. And I don't know, can we get into what some of the costs are involved in hiring people to write these short articles?
The articles themselves were actually not expensive. They typically cost me about, usually about $5 to $6 per article. So it wasn't that expensive at all, a lot less than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And for the kind of the bigger articles, I did have some feature articles done, and I had a press release done, which we can talk about. The press release actually cost me $100. And, you know, and I didn't continue it. What I did is I would go for a month, and then I'd stop for a few weeks, and then I'd go for another month. And really, I did it for about 4 months just to really get the content on there to start it building. And now I have one writer that continues to write for me.
Gotcha. And those articles are appearing daily or every other day? Or
About 3 times a week, same thing.
3 times a week. Okay. Great. So you spent some time building up the critical mass of the site so that it actually was something substantial, and then now you've got regular content appearing on a regular basis.
Right.
And then you have the chat areas, and you have the forum where parents can write about their own experiences. I mean, this just seems like a perfect use of the web. You know, people with a problem that they all share. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. You have new people coming in who are really bewildered. You have experienced people that can offer help. Everybody's doing their own investigation and having their own results, and which they can then turn around and share with everybody in the community. I mean, it's just a picture perfect. Like you said earlier, thank God the Internet came along, because there was absolutely no way to do something like this before the Internet came along.
There was no way to do it, and it's a perfect opportunity right now. And it's really a community-based website, but it still has the potential to make money. But it's, you know, it's perfect. And with these moms coming in and just chatting it up, they're adding content to my site like crazy, and I don't even have to ask them to do that. One of the things that I did was I put a little free report on my homepage, my landing page, where people could get a free report. And what it did is it signed them up as to become a member of my site. So now I've got their email, and I can send them a series of autoresponders. I had never sent an autoresponder in my life. And these just thrilled me, I have to tell you. I was so excited to see these autoresponders, because I would send like a couple out the first week and then once a week after that. And it was basically just one or two paragraphs and continuously trying to bring them back to my site. I'd say, you know, would you mind sharing your story with me? And I'd send them a little link of where they could post their story. And the emails I was getting back, and James was laughing at me, because I was saying, James, they think that I'm writing to them personally. He says, well, you are writing to them personally. I said, I know, but I'm not sitting down and typing in their email address and then writing them this email. I said, it's all being done through an autoresponder, but they don't know it's an autoresponder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting these comments back from people all the time saying, you know, maybe they'll say, okay, I've just posted my story for you, or no, I don't have time right now, but I promise to get back to you. And I just got a chuckle out of that. And I can continue to bring them back to my site continuously through the autoresponders. And if I release a new podcast, I can tell them about it. And, you know, it's just a cool way to continue to bring your visitor back to your site. And I had no idea that you could do that.
Well, for people that are new to Internet marketing, definitely pay attention to what Arlene's just said. Autoresponders are the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, they're very simple, and they're very easy to operate, and once you learn them, there's nothing to it, and there's really not much to learning it. It's pretty straightforward. But the power of that medium, and it's very overlooked, even in Internet marketing circles, people just don't pay enough attention to autoresponders. Quickly, for anybody that's relatively new to Internet marketing, an autoresponder is something that lets you set up in advance a sequence of emails, and so that anybody can sign up at any time, and they'll receive, let's say Arlene set it to one email a week. So one person might sign up in July, and it's as if they're brand new. You know, they're getting a new email from Arlene every week, but it's part of this sequence that's already been pre-written. And then somebody else might sign up in August, and then they start anew, too. So everybody in this autoresponder world is getting this experience of getting a brand new letter every week addressed to them and inviting them to visit the site or sharing some information or whatever it might be. And it has it's a very powerful way to stay in connection with your prospects and your customers. We have a course called System Smart Beginners, which is a home study course, and our very first lesson is the autoresponder. And I honestly, somebody could, with just autoresponders alone, could make a fantastic living if you just really use them in all the different ways they can be used. So that's great. So your site has an autoresponder. You invite people to become members as well.
Right, and so I had over 800 people sign up to become members just in the 6 months since I put the autoresponders on.
Great, and of course, that's a lesson too. They don't sign up until you ask, until you invite them, and once you do, it's amazing how many people will register for a site if the topic fits what they're interested in.
Right.
Let's talk about search engines. Now, this is for some people. You know, this is a very complex topic, and they'll spend thousands of dollars to learn the latest minutia about, you know, manipulating the search engines. You're getting very good search engine results. And I know you're not a search engine optimizer or a search engine marketing professional. What can you share with our listeners about search engine results and about your style of publishing?
Well, what we do is... we teach through natural search, so we don't really do any paid search or anything on the site, but the site is designed around, I did do a keyword list for my site, so I knew which keywords people were actually typing in when they wanted to find information on epilepsy. So I did use those keywords when I created the articles for my site and the content for my site. So when people did start searching for those words, my site was often coming up. And you know, that really boiled down to when I really needed to start promoting my site and doing my linking back to my site. And I'm very specific the way I link. I send out a feature article to another webmaster, and I have three links back in it. And these are very targeted keywords in those links. For example, I might link the word epilepsy in children, and then that will hyperlink back to my home page. I might hyperlink the word ketogenic diet for children with epilepsy, and that'll hyperlink back to the page on my site where I talk to Jim Abrams about the ketogenic diet. So, you know, it's just in the matter that of getting the links out to other sites that are coming back to my site and just filling my site with really good content and just using the proper keywords that are proper for my site.
And keywords is, you know, can sound technical, but it's pretty simple. It's the words and phrases that people that are interested in a given topic use when they're doing their searches.
Yes.
So you, as somebody who's already in this field, you had a big head start because you knew the kind of words that you used when you were doing your searches.
Absolutely. And we did do a bit of paid search at the beginning to, we spend about $5 to $10 a day just to get people to my sign-up page. And you know, that was to really just get the site promoted at the beginning as well.
And that's not a bad way also to test the site, make sure everything's working, make sure that it's laid out in a way that's appealing so that people want to sign up and want to use the site. And so while you're waiting for your natural or your organic listings to happen, which can take a little time sometimes, you can get traffic today and have people on your site today and
right.
Watch what they're doing on the site. And, you know, if 100 people come to your site and nobody stays more than a second, you know, this is kind of an extreme case, but then you know, wow, I need to do something different. or if a whole bunch of people come to your site and nobody wants to listen to the interviews, or nobody, maybe they can't find the interviews. There's a lot of things you can learn just by throwing the traffic at the site.
Well,
right,
there was another thing that we did on that topic is we did do some testing of our landing page. We used Google Website Optimizer, and what it actually does is it creates four versions of that same page, but what the pages are absolutely identical, but just one word would change. Like, for example, I have a free report that says 6 critical facts moms need to know when dealing with a child with epilepsy. Well, we would change the word mums to the word you. Instead of 6 critical facts mums need to know, it would be 6 critical facts you need to know. And just changing that one word was quite amazing. So we were actually able to really test that page, and we are actually able to get a 28.3% conversion rate for signing up for our newsletter just by really being careful and monitoring and testing that page to make sure we were using the right phrase.
And this is one of the other wonders of Internet marketing. You can do this kind of testing. You can test one page against another, one headline against another, very, very easily once you learn how. And the surprises never stop coming. You know, you think, oh, this is the best way to say it, and then you try another way to say it, and my goodness, you know, it's way more effective to say it the other way. And sometimes it can be the difference of a word. We had at our last system seminar conference, which you were at with James in Chicago, we were lucky enough that Google sent James Leung, who's their product manager for Website Optimizer, and he gave a fascinating talk on how Google itself uses the Website Optimizer tool to test its own pages. You know, we never think of Google as having to test anything. You know, they just do whatever they please. But every page, every landing page they create, they're testing it because they want to optimize their results too. And this is, again, one of the most, something that just did not exist and wasn't really possible for small publishers before the Internet came along. You pretty much had to write what you wrote, put it out there, and hope for the best. But now we can put things up and see how our readers react to it and, adjust our approach accordingly. Excuse me.
Yeah, I really wanted to say that for anybody that was considering doing a podcast, it's really been hugely beneficial for me. I was really scared to do it at first because I didn't know if I was going to be able to interview people. I was really nervous. James says, just do it. And so I started with like a friend of mine who was the executive director from the Epilepsy Society. She goes, start with someone you know. So I started with her, and then I moved on to Dr. Swingle, who was the doctor who did the neurotherapy treatments on Adam's brain. I mentioned before that Adam had a lot of obsessive, compulsive, and autistic tendencies. And I have to tell you, after these neurotherapy treatments, 90% of his autism is gone. And I interviewed Dr. Swingle, and we really were able to talk about Adam's specific case and all of the treatments that neurotherapy can do as well. So that podcast is on there. And then I got really brave and phoned up Jim Abrams and said, I really want to interview you. I was terrified to phone him up. He said, I would love to be interviewed. So all you have to do is ask. And then, so I've got 6 podcasts done now. I only have 5 on my site. One more is in the editing process right now. But the amount of traffic that you can get, because these podcasts go out everywhere, and I submitted them to a number of podcast directories, and it's quite amazing the amount of traffic you can get just from having those podcasts on the site.
Yeah, the web really in recent years has evolved into a multimedia medium. You know, people go to the web now not just for text and pictures, but for audio and for video, and that trend is just accelerating. And just as there are search engines for web pages, there are now the equivalent of search engines for podcasts, podcast directories. iTunes is a big one, actually. And I think this is really good that you told about your interviewing experience, because initially it can be daunting for people. They've never done something like that before, never talked to a famous person or never talked on the record. I think the path that you laid out is just perfect. Start with somebody that already knows you, who you're already comfortable with. And it's almost like, I think in terms of boxing, you know, you sort of start with a match that you have a good chance of winning, and then if you win that one, you go to a higher, more competitive realm, and then if you win that one, you go to a more competitive realm. And what you'll find is, as long as you're prepared, as you are, and I want to talk about that in a second, as long as you're prepared you know, you're talking about something that the interviewee wants to talk about, you'll be amazed at the people who will gladly give you time for an interview. Now, one thing I noticed about your interviews, and I listened to quite a few of them, because they're, first of all, they're fascinating, whether or not anybody has a family member or friend with this situation. It's just a very interesting story, you know, that there could be a disorder or disease with such severe ramifications that is potentially so easily solved, and nobody knows the cure. I mean, that story is just mind-boggling to me on the face of it. But so I would listen to these interviews, and one thing that was very clear to me is you were very prepared. Could you talk a little about that?
I really was prepared. What I did is I asked James, because James does the affiliate buzz, and he has to do that twice a month, and he has a format that he follows, and he does his own coffee talk interviews. And I said to James, I said, you know, this is so natural for you. Like, how do I follow a format so that I can get this right? And he gave me his format, and I was able to just to follow it. You know, just say, do a little introduction, talk about who your guest is going to be. You talk about the bio of the person that you're interviewing, and then you just start asking questions. And what I did is I wrote out the questions that I wanted to ask my guest, and I sent it all to them in advance so that they knew exactly what I was going to be asking them, and gave them the conference phone number, the time to call in, explained how the whole thing worked to them. I had a call with them before the actual interview so that they were prepared and see if they had any last-minute questions. And I think that just by me being so prepared, it really put their mind at ease, and, you know, they were very, you know, happy to do it. And I, you know, showed them my site. I said, go ahead and listen to one of the interviews on there. I have a professional intro and outro on my podcast. It's the same every time. And they can just see that it's very professionally done. And I haven't had anyone that said no that I've asked.
And I can't imagine that anybody ever would. You know, it's as if you created, and this isn't TV, it's audio, but it's as if you created a TV channel, a radio station, specifically for families that are facing this challenge, which is wonderful. Because again, if you think of the pre-internet world, what would you get? Maybe you'd go to the library, you know, and you'd look through some books, which I think is how. And I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, the Hollywood fellow.
Jim Abrams.
Yeah, Jim Abrams. He tells his story, which was pre-internet. This is what he had to do. He had to go to the library. He had to read medical texts, and, you know, what do any of us know about medical texts, you know, but he dove in and did it anyway, and through constant reading, he kept seeing, I think he tells the story in the interview, he kept seeing the same term come up again and again, this diet, and I guess one thing led to another, and he explored it, and a lot of doctors told him, oh, forget it, but he persisted, and it turned out he saved his son's life with this thing. So that was pre-internet. You know, families have to get in the car, go to the library, try to find a relevant book, read the book without any guidance, and it's a very technical topic. Now, because of what Arlene's done, all this information, the articles coming out every week on new aspects of the situation, interviews with experts, places for members to post their own experiences, chat rooms where people can you know, work with each other and help each other and encourage each other through the difficulties they're facing. And this is a miracle.
It's, you know? it's quite amazing. And you couldn't do this 10 or 15 years ago. So it's really an opportunity to get the message out there. And, you know, it's a story that needs to be told.
Absolutely. And let's give the URL for everybody again.
Yeah, it's www.epilepsymoms.com, EPILEPSYMOMS.com.
So some of, you know, there may be, I mean, statistics says that there may be some people listening to this call for whom this particular topic is extremely relevant. So I'm glad for that, and that they'll be able to look into this. But you may know family members or friends or neighbors or church members who maybe you can tell them about this if they're going through this. It must be a terribly lonesome experience for a family to be going through this kind of thing.
You know, it's a terrible, terrible thing, because if you've ever watched someone have a seizure, it's horrible to watch. And you don't know every time they're having a seizure if you're damaging their brain in any way. A lot of these kids end up with behavior problems. A lot of them end up with learning disabilities. They typically can't function well on the medication. And the guilt that the parents feel is unbelievable. And they also don't even know that there's other families going through this. So as a support system, it's incredible.
Yeah, I think that's one of the worst of it. I mean, it's one thing to have, some really bad luck to deal with, but to deal with it entirely alone, I think that just magnifies the problem. And what your site has done, and will continue to do in the months and the years to come, is provide a community where people who are going through this won't have to go through it alone without resources. So it's incredibly valuable. And, you know, there are probably people listening to this call that are aware of, knowledgeable of, involved in similar situations, you know, where there is some solution to a serious problem, that the solution already exists. You know, nobody has to invent anything. Nobody has to, you know, spend $1 billion on research. The solution's out there. It's just nobody knows about it. So I want to encourage people to have that kind of knowledge to look at what Arlene's doing, go to her site, you know, consider maybe you can do the same thing. The site is designed to serve, but it also has advertising on it. You're using AdSense?
Yeah, I use AdSense on there. It's just one way to generate income. I also have some affiliate products on there, and I also sell my ebook on there. So there's really three sources of income on the site right now, and I'm really just getting that going, and I'm looking for new merchants all the time who have got products that were, you know, designed for kids with epilepsy, for example, like a bed alarm or crash helmets, that kind of thing. There's just all kinds of things that kids can really use.
Gotcha. I knew there was advertising on the site when I was on it, but it's very unobtrusive. It's not jumping out at you. It's embedded within the content.
That's right.
And, you know, and the formula for this site, for any site, is really simple. Traffic plus conversion equals profits. That's the old system seminar formula from way back, and we haven't been able to improve on it all these years. And Arlene's getting the traffic, and people are coming, and she has conversion methods built into the site, you know, inviting people to become members, offering the free report, inviting people to be part of the chats, inviting people to be on the forum. She has, you'll see when you go to the site, there are AdSense ads throughout the site. There are affiliate ads. So she's working on the conversion side as well. So by creating excellent content, by creating fresh content, by doing a few technical things, she's enhancing the traffic flow.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, she's paying attention to ways that she can convert that traffic and convert it through service. We're not talking about, you know, just putting up any old thing, but things that are relevant and related to the reason people are at the site.
Right.
So this site is producing and will continue to produce more and more revenue as the traffic builds.
It's just getting started. And can I just say one of the other things that I did, which I was quite amazed at, was I had a press release written for the site, and I really had no idea how much promotion you could get from your site from a simple press release. But when I was interviewing Dr. Swingle for neurotherapy, I thought, this is really an important interview. I want parents to know about it. So, again, I went to Elance, paid $100 to have someone write a press release for me, $25 for a letter to the editor, packaged up 30 copies of that, sent them off. And to my local newspaper, I got a full-page article on Adam. It was amazing. So all for about $200 is what I spent in, you know, postage and envelopes. I probably got about $5,000 in exposure on the site.
Yeah, another tool, you know, for traffic generation. And if you're working in an area like this, you know, you're very likely to get press interest because of the power of the story and the importance of the message. So in addition to the fact that this is serving people and helping people and will continue to help people, it's also self-sustaining financially, and it can also generate and throw off profit as well. So, again, just another miraculous aspect of the Internet. This kind of thing just was not possible 15 years ago. You couldn't dream of it.
No.
And now it's all possible. This is, you know, it's stories like this, which is why I continue to be so enthusiastic and excited and committed to teaching people Internet marketing. Because, you know, you can do things like this. And now you've had a little bit of an advantage because, you know, James Martell's your husband, and it's kind of nice you don't have to leave the house to get world-class Internet marketing advice.
That's right.
But on the other hand, James is out there teaching. He's not holding any of this stuff back.
No.
If somebody wants to learn it, they can go through one of his programs and learn everything that James has taught you.
That's right. And, you know, he really used me as a guinea pig because he wanted to show our students as well that I have no experience with it, and once I got it going, it was relatively simple to do. There's definitely some learning that you have to do along the way, but it's very doable for the average person.
Well, when I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody about this very same topic, and I said, you know, as businesses go, the Internet is very forgiving in that they really isn't much money to spend to get an Internet business started. I mean, you have your website, your hosting arrangement, your autoresponder. You know, that's enough to get started and then get started in a big way. And we're talking about spare change, really, when it comes down to it. So so it doesn't take money to get into this business, but it does take knowledge. And the nice thing is if you're willing to make the effort to get that knowledge, you can leverage it a long, long way. And, you know, I've never needed to finance any business that I've ever had. I never need to go outside for financing or borrow money or even save money. I just take whatever I'm not spending and use that to get the next venture going. It's a very, like I said, forgiving medium that way. But you do have to have knowledge. So I want to encourage everybody that's, you know, maybe been inspired by this call. Well, first of all, if you're in Internet marketing, you really should go to Arlene's site and look at how to do a site right, how to do a community site right. I just don't think you're going to find better. So that's one thing you'll get out of the call. But for those people who are listening who may be, you know, new to Internet marketing or have heard of it and kind of want to get involved, you should also go to Arlene's site and realize that, yes, this is a really well-made site, but it was made by somebody who's not, you're not a computer geek, I know that.
No, I'm not. No,
You're not a programmer, you're not a professional writer, you're not a professional interviewer, and yet you were able to get this thing going and keep it going and grow it just by knowing how to find the right people to help you.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Yeah, and just get the right training in the first place.
Yep, which is really important. And just a brief thing, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I'm very fortunate that James, Arlene's husband, has agreed to join me in Chicago November 8th and 9th, along with Howie Jacobson, the author of AdSense for Dummies, Christy McDonald, who is a super online stores person, and Cindy Kapler, who's a great teacher and coach of beginners. And we're doing a beginner's course on Internet marketing. And I say beginners, I mean people that maybe don't know anything about Internet marketing at all, or people who are doing some Internet marketing but haven't yet been able to replace their paycheck with their Internet marketing efforts. To me, that's a beginner. And the purpose of this course is to do what not many people seem to be willing to do these days, which is take the time to really go through everything with beginners from A to Z so they know exactly what to do to get their businesses on track. And again, it's great that James is going to come all the way from Vancouver to Chicago to join us for that. If anybody listening is interested, what I recommend that you do is go to smartbeginners.com/bootcamp. That's smartbeginners.com/bootcamp. boot camp. And James Martell and I and the other folks I mentioned will be teaching a course specifically for people that want to get into and enhance their internet marketing activities. It's going to be a very good course. And I haven't done a course just for beginners, a live one. I think the last one I did was 2001. James does his teaching virtually. It's all online. So this is also unusual for him to come out and spend 2 days with a group going over all this material. So if this has been something that you've been interested in and you've been wondering, gee, where should I go to learn this, I want to encourage you to take a look at smartbeginners.com/bootcamp and see if this is for you. But let's go back to the issue at hand, which is Arlene's site. Again, this is if you get nothing else from this call other than to go to the site and just see how a really good content/community site is built, you will have gotten all the value from the time you invest in this call. I'm going to say it's a work of art. You know, I'm studying your site very carefully for some projects that I have. It's got it. It's running on all eight cylinders. You know, it's a sight to behold, and it's inspiring. You know, it reminds us of what this is all about. Believe it or not, you know, when you're on the other side of it, sometimes it seems hard to make money. But once you figure out how to do it, that's not really a big challenge. There are much, much bigger challenges in this world than making money. And this issue that Arlene's working on is one of those. And we're so blessed to have this tool to use. We should, you know, those of us that care and want to do something in whatever area it is, you really should learn how to use the internet, because the power that it has is awesome. And again, I know I'm sort of stating this very dramatically, but it's how I feel.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody goes to epilepsymoms.com, sees a great example of a great site using content and community. If you happen to know anybody that maybe is facing this problem, you could tell them about the site, and they could go and make up their own mind about some of their options.
I hope that it'll encourage people as well. If they have a health issue and they wanted to do the same type of thing, that, you know, they can do it. They can build a site just like this and get lots of support.
Absolutely. And you know, in health in general, you got to be your own. You got to be your own advocate. Maybe you're going to be lucky and you're going to find a doctor that really knows and really cares and, you know, is really well informed and has all the time in the world to spend with you. And, you know, that's a lot of ifs. And I don't want to besmirch the medical profession, but I'll tell you what, if I have a problem, I'm not just going to count on them to do the homework. I'm going to do my own homework and find out what I can. And I've had some health problems myself, and I've had to sort them out myself. And if I had depended on doctors for it, I may not be on this call.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other story. So that's another issue, but everybody, realize, it's your body. Or if it's one of your children or one of your family members, nobody's ever going to care more than you. And doctors do make mistakes, and doctors can be misinformed. Doctors can be lazy. And you can't put your life in their hands entirely. You need to be informed about these things. So that's sort of another lesson here, but we won't go too into that.
Mm-hmm.
But Arlene, thank you so much for this call. Thank you for creating a great site that we can all be inspired by.
I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story, and I thank you very much for having me as a guest on your program.
The pleasure's all mine, really. And we will talk soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.